Take your copy of God's Word, please, and turn to Colossians 3. Jordan, would you bring me the my black water? Thank you. The water in it's not black, but my cup is. Some of you were wondering. Colossians chapter 3. This is what God's Word says. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. You notice three times in this text that we are to be thankful. We're to have hearts of gratitude in our relationships, in our difficulties, and in our worship and walk with God. To be thankful. And so that's what I wanted to focus on this evening, to take just a few minutes to rehearse. First, what a year this has been. It began in the fall and winter with, well, maybe a portent of what was to come, with our first Sunday being an adventure with our Transformer Fire. And then through the fall, ministry was pretty normal. We just did what we usually do, and we thought about what God wanted us to do. We began streaming on Facebook Live, just the sermons, little knowing how important that was going to be. And we went through our Advent season with all of our Thanksgiving and Advent events and fellowshipping together. And we came into the new year with expectancy for work and for ministry. Dave Rao, God bless you. It is good to see you, brother. Welcome home. Long journey in Kentucky. We are grateful for all of God's mercies and just an evidence of what God has done and God's mercy. And so the fall and winter seemed pretty normal. I'm thinking through, you know, making plans for travel and ministry and thinking about what we'll be doing here. And then in February into March, beginning to see difficulty arising, particularly in China and the closure of China. And then going to Romania in our last week there, things beginning to close here. And Mr. Trump's closing air travel from Europe and coming home. I've said it several times, but very thankful for leadership who encouraged me to get on a flight, come home now. And I left on a Friday, got here on Friday evening, and by Sunday, Europe had closed. And if I had not come home then, I would have been there until the first week of August. And so, very thankful to be able for God's mercy in bringing me home. And then the difficult decisions, as we didn't know and we had so little guidance, to close the campus and to switch to online gatherings and to do as much ministry as we were able remotely. And just a reminder in this regard that we did close the campus and we did go online because we believed it was best. We had taken the government's advice and guidance into our consideration. But we did not do this in submission, if you will, to the government. And we are thankful for the measures that have been taken to protect in the future. The other morning or evening, I don't remember which it was, but I misspoke in saying just the little word again, and that the government would not be able to close us again. Well, no, it's not again. And the hours of researching and praying and thinking and discussions as the elders wrestled with all the issues and the decisions that needed to be made and going forward. What a year it's been with the expanding to online, the whole gathering, in which we included worship. And the major remodeling project in the midst of campus closure, since we weren't here, why not? We had the money in hand and put together a plan and moved from what you saw in January to what you see now. And just in that, to express my gratitude again to Randy Watkins, who led that effort, and to John, who did so much of the lighting work and those kinds of things, spent hours and hours and hours in here producing what you see. And then the careful thoughts and steps that were taken as we moved to reopen the campus and all the work that's gone into that. This has been an amazing year. And then in that, we have the relaunching of full ministry. As we set aside all of the stricter guidelines and move toward five principles that we now use to guide our ministries. And they'll be reviewed to see if they should be extended after December 1st. The reopening of most of our weekly ministries, children, youth, Bible education, women's ministries and men's ministries. Some of those continued in small form, online. Most flocks met online on using Zoom. And then our continued and expanded live streaming now with our local and global audiences. We keep referencing those who are joining us online, and that happens both live and it happens more through people coming because of the time difference at times that they're more comfortable and watching our service on Facebook Live or on YouTube. And then what grace we have experienced to have elders who, above all things, wanted to be pleasing to God. And so they work tirelessly and with significant criticism at times to guide and to guard the church. What a grace we have experienced through not only the hardship of this pandemic, but in sickness in some of our church family, in deaths and sorrow and grief, in all different kinds of things that were going on that were difficult for them in the midst of loneliness and fear and hesitation and not sure and uncertainty, and then ministering often from a distance when you really wanted to just be there to throw your arms around somebody. What grace we have experienced to have a media team with John Ambrose primarily leading, who worked long and hard hours so that we would have an excellent live stream. All the Sundays where Emma was in running Power Force, and to recognize her sacrifice for that as well. What grace we have received to have an office staff who were able to quickly adapt to working remotely. In 2 days, we had gone from full in-office to full remote, getting all the work that needed to be done. And what a grace we received to be prepared ahead of time by already having taken some initial steps to stream our gatherings. And what a grace it was to have most of the congregation joining online when we weren't meeting in person. And what a grace it was, and it is, to have faithful giving so that we were over budget in our giving this ministry year. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but when several men that I know in their churches, larger churches granted, who are struggling financially, they're in real
trouble.
And yet God, through your faithful giving, God has graced you and thereby graced the church. And it'll be our joy to share that. But in the midst of all of this, what a God we have. We have a God who is in control of all the universe, including pandemic-causing viruses. Pandemic-causing verses, if only. What a God we have who pours out His grace and His wisdom to those who will humbly and will submissively ask. What a God we have who exposes and tests our lives to see if we will obey Him from the heart. This has been a season of much heart exposure in all different kinds of ways. And for many, in surprising and possibly even shocking ways, leading to repentance, leading to greater obedience, leading to a closer walk with the Lord. What a God we have who calls and commands us to gracious and loving relationships as His people. That we put on love, that we put on all these things. In fact, listen once again to that text in Colossians as rendered by the New Living Translation. Since God chose you to be a holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for one another's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. What does this text emphasize? Well, we must treat each other with grace and love, with a poise to forgive. Hardship and difficulty, fear, uncertainty does not set aside this imperative that we are patient and loving and have a poise to be gracious to one another. Now, that we must so clothe ourselves with love that we live in harmony and peace together. This is what the text calls us to. That we must engage one another with the Word and in worship in a Christ-centered and God-pleasing way. And the text reminds us that we must fill our hearts with thoughts and expressions of gratitude. Why? Because where there is no grace and gratitude, there will certainly be grumbling and complaining. And so, we intentionally move toward one another in love. We intentionally work and cultivate harmony and peace. We intentionally worship around the Word and around our expressions of gratitude to God. And we intentionally fill our hearts with thoughts and sentences and paragraphs and prayer and praises of gratitude. And what a Savior we have. The Lord has given us the Lord's table as an opportunity to turn our eyes away from our circumstances and our situations. The New Testament, the church was in all different kinds of places, under different kinds of pressures, experiencing different kinds of graces. And yet in all of them, there is this call to remember Christ. As we share in the Lord's table, that we do so to remember Him. And this helps us then to remember that what he went through on the cross, that all of the hardships and difficulties that he chose to enter, not the least of which was a horrible and painful death on the cross, has not only saved us, but it has left us an example that we should follow in his steps, that we should be like him. What a Savior we have. If you'd like to follow along, turn over to Mark 14, verses 22 to 26. Just take an opportunity. If in coming in you did not stop and pick up the elements, please just quietly do so now. We're not passing them out in this season of the year, but we are going to continue to share the table together in this way. Mark 14, very familiar verse. I read it at most of the times that we gather for the Lord's table. Mark wrote, verse 22, "And as they were eating, he, the Lord Jesus, took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." First, just a reminder that you are invited to come to the table. And through Christ and by the Word, we are called to share in this, what is often called the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Table, or Communion. And we invite any and all who have publicly professed Christ through baptism to join with us and to participate. You do not have to be a member of this congregation. And so we invite you then, in recognizing the whole body of Christ, to come and share with us. Now, I'll remind you that we share because we have been saved, not in order to be saved. Yes, there is a grace in giving this, as there is in anything that the Lord has ordained as a means of grace. But it's not saving grace. This is remembering that we have been saved by grace. But it is also a way in which God enables, encourages, equips, as we, not through the elements themselves, but through the acts of remembering what Christ has done for us, and through our participation together, that we remember that God has saved us to be a people together. And so we invite you to share, and as we move through the next few minutes, just to participate with us and taking the elements and sharing together and thinking together. And we share together with joy as we recognize our union in Christ's body by waiting for one another and serving one another and enjoy fellowshipping with one another. The Lord celebrated this first communion, this first Lord's table, at the close of the Old Covenant, at the close of the Old Testament, in which the Passover pointed to and looked forward to this one who was there. It pointed to the true Lamb. It pointed to the blood that was to be shed. It pointed to the blood that was to be applied. And so that the wrath of God would pass over those who had availed themselves by faith of that redeeming work. And so as we share this, as we think about this, and what God has done for us in saving us, I want to remind you that as you partake of these, you do not partake of these because you confessed all your sins, though you should. Because you come tonight and you've spent time thinking through and making sure that everything is okay. have to be very careful, lest we think that somehow we can partake of these elements because we have made ourselves worthy. The unworthiness in 1 Corinthians, taking the elements in the unworthy manner, was simply a failure to recognize the whole body of Christ. And unnatural and unbiblical divisions were being exercised even at the Lord's table. And so the unworthy manner is just simply a failure to look at one another, to love one another, to welcome one another. That's why we opened with Colossians 3, 12 through 17. That we might love one another, be patient with one another, we might honor one another, that we might be gracious to one another, that we might one another through the word, and that we might be filled with gratitude for God, to God, for one another. Mark wrote in his gospel that on that evening in the midst of the Passover, that he took bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, and he said, "Take, this is my body." You've received a little packet. If you tear off the top layer, there should be a wafer. When we come to God, we come to God as those who do not deserve to be near to Him, to be with Him. Because of our sins, we have been separated from the life of God. Because of our sins, we had a price to pay that we couldn't pay. And when we take the bread, we remember that Christ's body was broken for us. And in His broken body, there is a symbol, there is a picture of the wrath of God actually being poured out. And what He experienced in His physical body was a result of reminding us, was intended to remind us of how dreadful our sins are. And we come to God as those forgiven, not as ones who are separated, not as ones full of sins, not even as ones who are sinners, but ones who are saints, who've been redeemed, who've been brought back. And that has happened because Jesus stood in front of the wrath of God and it was poured out on Him. And for His people, every single sin that they had committed, will commit, do commit, were all paid for. They were all punished. This is what we remember when we take this little wafer and we partake of it. This symbolizes, it is a picture, that we are partaking in His broken body and therefore have been set free from our sins because they have truly and forever been paid for. All praise to Jesus. Take and remember Him. Scripture also says that Jesus took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they drank of it. And He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." You will find as part of it another seal, if you'll break that. Our sins had not only separated us from God, our sins not only deserved punishment, but our sins owed a price we could not pay. One of the words of our salvation is the word redeemed. We have been redeemed by Christ. That means that we have been purchased. We have been paid for. A price has been paid. What was the price? It was a perfect life. That's what you owed as a result of your sin. You owed God a perfect life. But what's the problem? You can see the problem, right? You owed what you don't have. You owed what you could never have. Apart from His grace, God sent His Son, who never sinned, who was Himself not a sinner. He did not inherit the guilt and the sin of Adam. And so, He offered up His perfect life. And He did it not because He owed it, because He didn't. He did it because you owed it. And for you and on your behalf, Jesus poured out His life as a perfect sacrifice. And therefore, for all of those who are in Christ, for all of those He intended to redeem, He poured out His life and He paid the price. So that it's not that you could be, but that you are redeemed. All that you owed because of your sin and sinfulness has been paid. And in this very simple way, we remember, by drinking from this cup, our participation in His outpoured life. That we have been joined to His body, and that we have been joined in His death, and that we are joined in His resurrection. And that one day we will be joined to Him in His glorification. All praise to Jesus for His outpoured life. Take and share together. By God's grace and for His glory, in the midst of what has been a hard year, a difficult year, in so many surprising, shocking, and unexpected ways, we have experienced a great God, amazing grace. And we ought to have hearts that are full of gratitude. And as we close this portion of our gathering in terms of sharing in the Lord's table, I'm going to ask Jason if you would stand and let's do it this way so that those online will be able to hear you. Would you give thanks to the Lord for what He has done for us, including our sharing of this at the table?
Father, there is so much to be thankful for, so much to just think back on and reflect on, not only in these major events that have occurred in the church life, but even in this world and even in our country that have tested us. Yet You continue to be faithful, forgiving, guiding us, leading us, and loving us in spite of ourselves. You were reminded this morning that it's our faith in who You are, not in who we are. That we will walk this path, keeping our eyes focused on the author and the perfecter of our faith in Jesus Christ. We just humbly come before You and say that we don't always see the world the way You see it. We don't view it from a biblical perspective, and we are not always thankful. But Your grace and mercy, You know that. You know we're weak. But You love us in spite of that. We see that even as we celebrate the broken body and poured out blood of Your Son. And that is the demonstration of the grace that You've given us every single day of our life. So may we be thankful. And just even tonight as we reflect on all that You have done and we prepare for the future of this church, as we go over these reports, that You show us so much grace. may we be humbly thankful for all that you have done and continue to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Part of our life together is in the grace of giving. And you have been so faithful in this season of hardship. And we'll take a moment to look back at the past year in a report and forward through the approved budget as we look forward as God's new covenant people into what God will do for us. Who knows, right? Who would have thought in the last Sunday of September 2019 that we would be and experience what we've experienced? Keith Moore was planning to help with the presentation tonight. He has been the deacon for our finance, was unable to be here tonight. And so Steve Vaughn, who is recovering from an illness, is also not able to be here. So now you have the third stringer. That would be me. And so I have in my notes here, invite Keith Moore, who has served as deacon, to come. Well, you got me. But as part of our serving together, as part of having, we have a more formal part of our meeting. And so I will, to lead that, I'm going to ask Pastor Tim Reck, who's chairman of our elders, to come and open this portion of our gathering in prayer.
Okay. I guess with Pastor Steve and Keith missing tonight, that just kind of goes with our past year. So, as we do as a part of this special night, we do insert a brief business meeting. So, with my standing up here, we'll call it to order if we can. And if you should have received a small ballot as you came in tonight, and it just simply asks for your affirmation or not. To the budget that will be presented here by Pastor Ross and the finance team and Pastor Steve. And so when you'll fill that out right after and then hand it to the center aisles. And Tad and perhaps others will pick it up. And we'll count it as we're doing the, continuing to worship in the worship suite. We're just going to go over the budget right now, how things went this past year, and then what we're looking at for the future. And then you can reflect that then on that ballot. So I'll have Pastor Russ come on up.
We began, first of all, by reflecting on our 2019-2020 financial review. And just a few things to note in being faithful in giving, that in this year, our general fund was giving was $619,668. Over the course of this year, you have given to our benevolent fund $14,654. In the counseling fund, $5,887. And in other special offerings, $2,110. In total, then, the church this year, across both general fund and special giving, has given $642,319. In that, we have been careful in spending. Now, at some level, some of this is simply because for 4.5-5 months, we weren't doing normal ministry. We continued to meet payroll. We continued to pay for the building in terms of lighting and all those kind of things. But ongoing functional ministry where there's expenditures just didn't happen. And yet, what we find here is that in your giving, you gave over the budget and what was expected. In our expenditures this year, we spent $533,810, leaving then a balance of $858. And the finance team is making recommendations to the elders as to how to take that and invest it then in funds and set asides so that we properly handle those leftover cash. What are some challenges then in going forward? God has allowed substantial giving. Pray for us as we consider the financial impact and we continue to be good stewards of our financial and material resources as the Lord blesses. This year, in thinking through our budget, we lowered it just a little bit because we weren't sure of ongoing impact, employment, and things like that. So we made some decisions that we're trying to be anticipating, not that we would doubt that God would provide for us, but just to be wise. So the Lord continues to bless the chapel through the generous giving of our people. And as I've already commented, just it's amazing what the Lord has enabled you to do during this season. It's unusual. And I mentioned before, several large churches where I happen to know pastors, they're really, really struggling. And so I'm just so thankful to be with, to be among, to serve alongside of people who have been faithful in their giving. As always, as has been true down through the years, our ministry teams continue to be diligent and faithful in managing their ministries with godly stewardship. So often, you know, the requests are where they are and there's plans, but then they're very careful in how those monies are spent. This year, in thinking about our budget, the finance team recommended and the elders approved a 3% raise for all of staff, including salaried and our hourly employees. And we continue to be able to meet the benevolent needs of our church members who are in need, as well as needs that come up from other churches, and particularly with missionaries. So, on behalf of the finance team and on behalf of the elders and at the request of the finance team, it's my responsibility to present to you the approved budget for ministry year 2021. We thank the Lord for all His continued provision through the giving of His people. And we were able to approve all capital purchase requests for the coming up ministry year using the cash that was left over from last year. And so as that will be spent this year, there will be zero impact on this year's budget. We will continue to rely on love offerings for a benevolent fund. And we have budgeted to continue to set aside money for future ministry opportunities. And I will mention something that we do that was part of how we remodeled this auditorium. And at this point, all the money that was spent to remodel this auditorium has been reimbursed back into that fund. And so it's back to the pre-remodeling levels. Praise the Lord for that. Our budget for this coming up year, the annual budget, is $601,288.48. This comes out to $50,107.37 per month, and a weekly giving of $11,563.24. Now, how does this break out then into different categories? And we don't do this. We don't give a... If you would like a more detailed budget to see, then please request to the office. This is not something we kept hidden or anything like that. But we, in this point, I'm going to belabor it by going through, I don't know how many lines, 90-something lines. I'm sure you don't want me to do that. And first of all, we budgeted for the Strategic Initiative Fund. We lowered it from $4,000 a month to $3,000 a month. That is the fund that has been set aside in order to do these kinds of things with the remodeling. We've used it to help missionaries, to help other churches. And so that strategic initiative fund allows us then, and we take the money out of, we set aside $3,000 a month and put it into this fund to keep growing that fund. Our total business expenses for the coming year are budgeted at $4,000. Our total ministry, and basically I think we just approved all of the requests for this coming year, $152,959. Our total operations, this is planning for how we operate, particularly our campus, is at $90,320. And our total elders and staff is at $318,009. Therefore, our total budget for this coming year is at $601,288. And so that's our planning for this coming up year. That budget has been worked through by the finance teams, presented to the elders. And, half an hour? I think it took about a half an hour. The finance team had done such an amazingly good job that we just reviewed it. We had a couple of things to determine and decide, and then it was approved. And so we are presenting it to you this evening for your affirmation. And Pastor Tim, if you will come back for that, please.
Okay, so if you haven't already, fill out that little piece of paper and pass it to the center aisles, and we'll tabulate those as we continue to worship. As has been said already tonight, we have much to be thankful for, and the Lord has been faithful to us, and we are just... it's just exciting to see the faithfulness of his people here at the chapel. And we look forward to another year of that going forward. It's interesting even that with all of the issues that we had this year with the pandemic and such, really not much was stopped. There was, we've still preached two times a week. Flocks gathered, whether it was virtual or in person. We still did a fair amount of traveling this year overseas, and we had evangelism initiatives this year. We've had, counseling continues to roll on with, dozens of people helped, not only in our own church, but throughout the area. And again, we met for worship. Discipleship ministries continued. Youth studies and activities continued. Children's ministries, ABE, although held up a bit, have resumed. So praise God. ABE, and again, campus improvements. And I know there's many more. So again, we can be very thankful with what God has done. And he is a great God, and he continues to work through his people. And we've had to improvise, right? Especially with these little masks that we've had to wear. But it's been wise to do that. So, but again, pass those forward, and we're going to adjourn the business meeting with prayer, but not adjourn our gathering, because the worship team will come up to lead us the rest of the way. So, as I pray, would worship team come forward? Father, we can simply begin tonight by just saying thank you. You are a great God, and you are working sovereignly in this world and in our community and this church. Father, you are doing all that you have ordained. Pandemics and other problems in our culture and society are not only don't stop you, but Father, you have ordained these things to occur. And you are a faithful God, and we take rest in the fact that you are a faithful God. We are encouraged by that. We are encouraged by everything about you in your character, in your promises, and all that you're doing in our lives through Christ. Thank you for tonight. We thank you for that moment to pause and look back on all that you have done this past year. And Father, as we move forward by faith. We move forward by your provision. May it be a year, Father, where we grow as individuals, as we grow as a body of believers in maturity in Christ, that we grow in our faith and our trust and reliance upon you. May we grow, Father, in our setting you aside as our only object of worship, Father. Help us to shed the things that do entangle us in this life. Father, may it be a year where the perseverance that you have built into us, Father, by your Spirit is proven. It is shown before an unbelieving world. And Father, may we be able to use the funds that you give us and provide. May we use those faithfully. May we be a people who keep our eye upon you, upon our glorious future with you. May we be a people who live truly as if we're passing through, that we're looking for that heavenly country always. Give us that eagerness. Give us that desire. And at the end of the year and throughout the year, we give you all the glory. We praise your great name. We thank you for Jesus. He's all we have. And we are ever grateful for that. May Christ be seen in our midst, in all that we say, all that we do, all that we plan. May this church be representing the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.